Going to call an audible and add a third reading for this morning. This one from the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Jesus says, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." In his book, One Crowded Hour, Tim Bowden describes an incident in Borneo in 1964. Nepalese fighters known as Gurkhas were asked if they would be willing to jump from airplanes into combat against the Indonesians. The Gurkhas didn't clearly understand what was involved, but they bravely said they would do it, asking only that the plane fly slowly over a swampy area and no higher than 100 feet. When they were told that the parachutes would not have time to open at that height, the Gurkhas replied simply, "Oh, you didn't mention parachutes before." Now that is commitment. Today is Commitment Sunday here at CMPC for our Realizing the Vision capital campaign for our 2019 annual operating budget. But most importantly, commitment to our God and to one another and to unity. In an old Peanuts cartoon, Lucy demands that Linus change the TV channels, threatening him with her fist if he doesn't do it. "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" asks Linus. "These five fingers," says Lucy. "Individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." "Which channel do you want?" asks Linus. Turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" Unity is certainly a sight to behold. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Frequently, as part of the liturgy of a wedding service, a unity candle is lit by the bride and the groom. The couple each takes a small burning candle, usually lit by their mothers at the beginning of the service, representing their solitary life thus far. And together they light the large center candle, signifying the biblical claim that in marriage the two lives become one. When they put their small candles back into their holders, they are to extinguish them. At a recent wedding, not here but somewhere else, the bride and groom had put the individual candles back into their holders with the flames still burning. Then the bride, with an impish gleam in her eye, bent over and blew out the groom's candle. The congregation burst into laughter. Following the service, one fellow quipped, "During the marriage ceremony, the two become one. On the honeymoon, they discover which one." How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. In the 17th chapter of John, we find Jesus' last prayer before his trial and his crucifixion. Immediately after he prayed these words, he was arrested. It is striking that of all of the things for which Jesus could have prayed in this moment, his attention was turned squarely on his disciples, the 12 who had followed him these 3 years, and all who would follow him after. "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word." And in that moment, it is also striking to discover what it was Jesus wanted most for his disciples. that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Unity amongst the believers is what Jesus desired, that through that unity the world may come to believe in Christ. What Jesus wants for us is to be one. Friends, I have been so very encouraged as we have walked together thus far through this, our second Realizing the Vision capital campaign. I have been encouraged by the excitement surrounding the plan for our future, despite the challenges and setbacks along the way. Last Sunday's worship was truly an inspiration, and I know many of you felt that as well. I have been encouraged by the generosity of a few, already over $875,000 pledged to this campaign is astounding and it is inspirational. Our children and our youth continue to inspire us as well. I have been encouraged by the words of support and appreciation I have received for my ministry among you as well. But most of all, I have been encouraged by our unity. I love having conversations with you during which you share your excitement about this plan and about our future together. And I love seeing you engaged with one another in conversation about it as well. To be sure, there are still plenty of things over which we may disagree, and some of those matters are important. But one of the great gifts of this plan and these capital campaigns so far has been the gift of unity. That it has drawn us closer together as a community and united us in our pursuits of this incredible and even audacious goal. As your pastor and as a fellow disciple of Jesus Christ, I find great joy in that unity because I believe our Lord finds great joy in it as well. That they may all be one, he prayed. And as we commit ourselves today to this campaign, that is what I pray for the most. Not for the total, not for the plan, for those are a means to an end ultimately, and that end being that they may all be one. That unity is what I am most eager for our congregation and for our world. And so as you bring forward your commitments in a few moments, take courage in knowing that the amount is not what is most important. Give and give generously, I urge you. Do it not because the church needs it, but because you need to do it. To take that bold step of faith to that place that your Lord is calling you. But in the end, do it because in doing so, we will all be united that much more. As a church, as a family, as the body of Christ. That is what I pray we are as committed to today as to the campaign, to the annual operating budget, to the ministry expansion plan. Committed to the kind of unity for which our Lord and Savior prayed. Some of you have shared with me your concern that your gift cannot be a large one, but that's okay. Remember that one of the principles of this campaign is equal sacrifice, not equal gifts. Some can give a lot, some can give a little, but all can give some. Remember the widow and her two coins. No matter the size of the gift, we need all to commit, to join in this bold step into the bright future of Christ Memorial Presbyterian Church, so that we can truly claim that we are one. I say to all of you what I have said to a few thus far, that it is my great hope and prayer for each member of this family that we can gather outside this morning to finally break ground. And when we stand together in a service of dedication of our new space, that each and every one of us, and those not with us today, can stand in those moments and say to ourselves, I was a part of making this happen. This is what I think will bring the biggest smile to God's face, that they may all be one. That was our Lord's prayer, that in and through that unity, the world may come to know Jesus Christ. These are special days here at Christ Memorial, when we can sense that unity more than we have in quite a long time. And that is far greater and more meaningful than any campaign total or any new building. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Good and pleasant indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.